and a good Monday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our program this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. We'll have more from The Law Group coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. Well, there has been a story that has been unfolding here in North Carolina over the last couple of weeks that has gotten some major national attention pretty much since Friday. I think I briefly mentioned it on the show back a couple of weeks ago. Haven't really dug into any of the additional details. There's, of course, been so much other news going on, but it has drawn some national attention in the last couple of days, and really since Friday. And that is a story unfolding out of Charlotte, where you had an individual, a Ukrainian refugee, a 23-year-old, that was murdered on a Charlotte light rail train system back on August the 22nd. Was 23 years old. Her name, Irena Zaruska, and she was stabbed to death brutally, unprovoked, on a Charlotte light rail back on Friday, August the 22nd. This has drawn major attention, at least throughout the state of North Carolina, but bricking up some major national attention over the weekend after video showing this gruesome, brutal murder. The individual being charged, 34-year-old DeCarlos Brown Jr., and on Friday, after attempts by leaders in Charlotte, including those that are in charge of the CATS system, which is the Charlotte Public Transit Authority, for lack of a better phrase, tried to make sure that this video did not get out to the public. And however, it was obtained on Friday by WBTV News, that's Channel 3 in Charlotte, and that while they did edit the footage and did not show the gruesome murder itself, they show the moments leading up to it, which we'll pull up. And for those listening on the podcast apps this morning and this afternoon, you can check out the video version of the show on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. I'll also throw a link to it up on my Twitter and Facebook accounts as well. But it shows the moments in which this brutal murder took place. You can see in this video footage here the gentleman in the black sweatshirt, or a red sweatshirt rather, a homeless man riding the light rail system in Charlotte, sitting down in the black shirt with the black hat and the white earbuds in, is the 23-year-old Zaruska. And as the video goes on, it's about a six-minute video, chopped up into different pieces, does not include the exact moment that he stabs her to death. But you'll see here coming up, he'll pull what appears to be some sort of retractable pocket knife out of his pocket. And as you can see here, there's no exchange between these two individuals. And here he pulls this pocket knife out of his pocket, flips up the blade, and then jumps up and goes on to stab her in the neck three different times, completely unprovoked, absolutely no rationale, no reason why this individual decided to brutally murder this 23-year-old woman, as they have had no run-ins in the past. As you can see from the surveillance video, he is sitting on the train. She gets on, is only on the train for about 4 minutes before he decides to pull the pocket knife out. You can see the blood from his knife, and apparently he cut his hand up pretty well, as she then would go on to bleed out on the train. No explanation as to why this took place. As you can see, here is the killer walking through the train, trying to do everything possible to get off. The train would stop then 30 seconds later, pulling his sweatshirt off, I guess, to maybe conceal his identity, actually to wrap up his hand, which I guess he cut up pretty well, slicing this poor woman's neck for seemingly no reason. He would then get off the train and try and get away before later being stopped by the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department and being taken into custody. You know, there are evil, terrible, awful people that exist. Right, last week and over the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of focus on the horrific situation unfolding in Minneapolis, where you had a trans individual social media videos showing a very possessed, deranged individual showing up to a Catholic church and shooting into the mass that was taking place, killing two young children, 8 and 10 years old. There's been a lot of attention on just situations that are seemingly unexplainable. And I think this story out of Charlotte fits that rap pretty well. Watching the video, learning some of the details that we have over the last couple of weeks, it's completely unexplainable. There's no rationale why the killer in this video, 34-year-old DeCarlos Brown Jr., there's absolutely no rhyme or reason, no rationale as to why he pulled a pocket knife out of his pocket, flew open the switchblade, and brutally murdered this 23-year-old. I mean, there's absolutely no way to explain it. And it goes into a point that I brought up on the show last week when we were talking about the left's attempt here to talk about gun control. Right? They claim that if you just take guns out of people's hands, violence stops. Well, unfortunately, and it's unfortunate that this situation unfolded the way it did, but here's another prime example of screwed up, deranged, effed up people, which is the only way to describe DeCarlos Brown Jr. People like that, that have whatever intent in their heart or their mind, will commit acts, atrocious acts of violence with whatever tools are available. He didn't shoot her with a gun. He didn't run her over with a car. He didn't kill her with an assault rifle 15, as the left likes to call it. No, he pulled what looked to be a relatively small knife out of his pocket, you know, some sort of box cutter or switchblade, which, you know, are readily available. This one's green, so it's going through the green screen. But some sort of pocket knife, some sort of material that you fly open a switchblade and stabbed her in the neck 3 times. Didn't use a gun. Didn't have to get a permit to have some sort of pocket knife. You can go to literally Dollar General and purchase things like that. They're not very hard to come by. You can find them laying on the street and go to a Goodwill and purchase them. And decided that he was going to murder this 23-year-old, stab her in the neck 3 times. Some good Samaritans rushed to her side to try and stop the bleeding. One guy, at least according to the reporting from WBTV, claims that some individuals rushed to her and took off their sweatshirts and tried to cover her neck to stop the bleeding. But unfortunately, being stabbed in the neck 3 times in this brutal beatdown, this brutal attack, it unfortunately was not enough, and there was really nothing that could have been done. I would argue probably even with medics on the train itself, very little that could be done with the stabbing to the neck there. And then, of course, this individual gets off the train. One of the most disgusting things about all of this, of course, the video and the murder itself, was the immediate response from officials in Charlotte. Now, this should be no surprise to you. You've heard my phrase before, liberal progressive hellholes. Charlotte is one of them. And it's an unfortunate reality. You see this in many major cities across the United States. Unfortunately, the Queen City for us, only a couple hours away here from southeastern North Carolina, happens to be one of those, where you've got almost exclusive Democrat control. There's a 7-member board for the Charlotte City Council. There are six Democrats and only one Republican sitting on that board. It's either 6-1 or 5-2. The point is, it is a highly Democrat-controlled area, like most major metropolitan cities across the United States. And we know, without a shadow of a doubt, that Democrats are weak on crime. We know that Democrats do not handle law and order well at all. And this is unfortunately another example of this. So immediately following the murder, this happened back on the 22nd, so a couple of days later, Charlotte City, the mayor, the Democrat mayor of the city of Charlotte, in Vi Lyles, released this statement. This is just a couple of days, and I'll read it to you in its entirety. quote, "First and foremost, my thoughts and prayers go out to the young woman's family and friends." That's how it starts. You've got the first sentence there. "This is a tragic situation that sheds light on problems with society safety nets related to mental health care and the systems that should be in place. As we come to understand what happened and why, we must look at the entire situation. While I do not know the specific of the man's medical record," she's referring to the killer, "what I have come to understand is that he was a long struggled with mental health and appears to have suffered a crisis. This was the unfortunate and tragic outcome. While there are questions about safety and security of our transit system and our city, I do know that there have been significant and sustained efforts to address safety and security within our transit system and across the city. Charlotte is by and large a safe city. CATS, which is the transit system in Charlotte, by and large is a safe transit system. However, tragic incidents like these should force us to look at what we're doing across our community to address root causes. We will never arrest our way out of issues such as homelessness and mental health. I am committed to doing the hard work with Mecklenburg County community leaders, healthcare service providers, and the private sector to ensure that Charlotte continues to be one of the best cities in the world with the highest quality of life for everyone. I want to be clear that I'm not villainizing those who struggle with their mental health or those who are unhoused. Mental health disease is just that, a disease like any other that needs to be treated with the same compassion, diligence, and commitment as cancer or heart disease. Our community must work to address the underlying issue of access to mental health care. Also, those who are unhoused are more frequent the victim of crimes and not perpetrators. Too many people who are on the streets need a safe place to sleep and wraparound services to lift them up. We as a community must do better for those members of our community who need help and have no place to go." I don't even know how to react to the statement there from Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles. You had a 23-year-old woman brutally, heinously murdered on a Charlotte light rail system. Did nothing wrong. Apparently, getting off her shift at work, has what look to be Apple AirPods in her ears, sits on the train, or the light rail system, rather, minding her own business for 4 minutes before her life is brutally ended at the hands of a homeless, violent, repeat offender who decided that it was his prerogative to slit her throat and kill her on the train. And you've got the mayor of Charlotte, Vi Lyles, the largest city across North Carolina, releasing this unbelievably stupid, tone-deaf statement. The only time she refers to what happened is in the first sentence. "First and foremost, my thoughts and prayers go out to the young woman's family and friends." That's it. The whole rest of her statement is about mental health care and protecting the homeless and, oh, those that are unhoused. Give me a freaking break. You know, this is the problem that the Democrats have created. This is solely the problem of the radical progressive left, which, based on this statement and based on some of her positions in the past, Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles would absolutely fall square into. They have created a situation where you're not allowed to talk about any situation that's unfolded. If somebody's homeless, might be dealing with mental health issues, so on and so forth, you're not allowed to talk about it. Because if you do, if God forbid you mention that homeless individuals with prior track records of being convicted felons, God forbid you talk about somebody that's homeless pissing on the street defecating on the street, running around shirtless, smoking meth, shooting up crack into their arms, assaulting individuals, stabbing people in the throats. God forbid you talk about any of that. You are a heartless bastard that has no compassion. You are a terrible person that doesn't have compassion for the unhoused. This is the kind of shit that runs out of control when you get rid of being able to talk about actual things that matter. These are the kinds of situations that unfold when you completely admonish personal responsibility and allow individuals to act whatever way they want and then masquerade it by claiming, oh, they're homeless. Oh, they have mental health issues. So it's okay to murder a 23-year-old woman on the train because you're unhoused and have a mental health issue. That is what the mayor of Charlotte is saying. That's what she said in her statement. Her direct quote, we will never arrest our way out of issues such as homelessness and mental health. You know what? She's right about that. But you know what you could arrest your way out of? A 23-year-old woman getting brutally murdered on the train. You could have arrested your way out of that. Because this is not the first time that the individual in this story, DeCarlos Brown Jr., has had a run-in with law enforcement. He has an incredibly lengthy criminal rap sheet, dating back decades. Here are some of the crimes that this individual has perpetrated in the past include felony larceny. Some of the other crimes include attempted murder. And in case you were wondering, here are all of the mugshots according to the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department, showing all of the run-ins that this individual has had with the law. This is not a first-time offender. This is not the first time that DeCarlos Brown Jr. has committed a heinous act, including felony larceny, felony assault, breaking and entering, shoplifting. Not the first time that he's had a run-in with the law. But because Democrats are soft on crime, because Democrats refuse to hold people accountable for their own actions, DeCarlos Brown Jr. was back out on the streets. And because he was back out on the streets and homeless and had nowhere to go, he was riding the Charlotte light rail system, I'll note, without a ticket. A surprise, surprise, because in Charlotte, just like every other great progressive hellhole that the Democrats have created, they don't check tickets for the light rail. So those that don't want to pay to ride or don't have the means to ride can jump on the train. He decided that he was going to brutally murder and kill a 23-year-old on the train back on August the 22nd. This is exclusively at the hands of Vi Lyles. This is exclusively at the hands of the Charlotte City Council that have allowed these soft-on-crime policies to continue. It is an unfortunate situation. It is an unfortunate reality that exists in many of these cities. And I hate to say it, but it's nothing new. And the fact of the matter is, these situations are likely to continue. These situations are not going to get better. They're only going to get worse. I mean, we folks, you don't need to look long and hard. You don't need to cherry pick stories from across the United States for this to make sense. There are prime examples of how soft on crime policies. There are a plethora of examples on how when you allow repeat offenders out of prison, out of jail, to allow them to roam the streets seemingly forever and never hold them accountable, you arrest them, they're in jail for a day or two, then they're released. Sometimes they're not even put in jail at all. They're immediately charged. They get in front of a magistrate. They're back out on the streets. You don't need to go through the history books to find examples of why and how this doesn't work. This exists all over the United States. And it is almost exclusively, I don't say 100%, but almost exclusively at the hands of radical progressive Democrats that feel it is compassionate to allow criminals to continue to repeat crime. That is what you've seen all across the United States, and that's exactly what you saw in this situation in Charlotte. You have a guy who has had consistent run-ins with law enforcement, who has continually been arrested, and is continually out on the streets. And so instead of dealing with the issue at hand, Democrats in Charlotte have decided that their policy is to allow these offenders to roam the streets. And lo and behold, look at what happens when they're allowed to do so. You have this poor woman who, as I mentioned, is a refugee of Ukraine, just didn't leave all that long ago to seek refuge in the United States. And now she's dead because of it. Now she's dead, plain and simple. We talk about things that can be completely avoidable. I would contend to you that the situation that unfolded on August the 27th on the Lynx Blue Line train system in Charlotte was, in fact, completely avoidable. There's a failure all over the board from the Charlotte City Council, from the, not the law enforcement, but the criminal justice system in Charlotte that allowed this individual consistently back out on the streets. The CATS system for not checking freaking tickets. I mean, what a simple thing to do. You're not allowed on the train if you don't have a ticket. CATS didn't check if there was, this individual had a ticket. There's apparently no ticket checking going on at all in Charlotte on the train, on the light rail system. And then from the CATS standpoint, no security or very little security existing on the light rail system, which has been known to be a problem for years. I was listening to a report on WBT radio earlier this morning, and some describe it as a rolling homeless encampment because they don't check tickets, at least in the overnight hours or throughout good chunks of the day. You've got a large portion of homeless people that are riding the CATS system back and forth, up and down the rail line, consistently, all the time, because there's no enforcement of something that is relatively simple. Do you have a ticket? Right? This is a passenger fare system. It's not a free trolley or free bus system. This is a pay-per-ticket light rail system. But they don't check the tickets. So you've got failures all over the board here, from the mayor to the justice system, to the criminal justice system in Charlotte, to the Charlotte Transit Authority that is responsible for the light rail. All of them failed in their own way. And the end result is a 23-year-old girl is now dead. I mean, it's a completely horrific situation that unfolded. Now, the mayor in Vi Lyles, who, by the way, is facing a primary election tomorrow in Charlotte, I guess decided to change her tune and walk, and not even walk back, but try and correct the record on her incredibly stupid and ridiculous statement that she released right after the shooting, where she spent no more than just a couple of words focusing on the person who was murdered and spent all of her time talking about mental health and wraparound services. Just a bunch of bullshit terms thrown out by the left. And folks, that's where I'm at this point. You know, this discussion is happening here in Wilmington as well. And you've heard it happen here in Wilmington. I have had the most extensive coverage on the homeless crisis that is existing in Wilmington. The most extensive coverage that you will find anywhere across southeastern North Carolina. I'm not tooting my own horn, but I'm pointing out that it is a major discussion and nobody else is really covering it in any detail or in depth at all. And you constantly hear all these phrases, wraparound service this, wraparound service that. We need to spend more money here. We need to spend more money there. We can't arrest our way out of the problem. Okay, then this is what the end result looks like. So Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles tried to clean it up this weekend. She put this post out Saturday on X saying, quote, "The video of the heartbreaking attack that took place, that took Irina Zarewski's life, is now public. I want to thank our media partners and community members who have chosen not to repost or share the footage out of respect for Irina's family." The full footage showing this scumbag stabbing her in the neck 3 times. "This was a senseless and tragic loss. My prayers remain with her loved ones as they continue to grieve through an unimaginable time. Like so many of you, I'm heartbroken. And I've been thinking hard about what safety really looks like in our city. I remain committed to doing all we can to protect our residents and ensure Charlotte is a place where everyone feels safe. Yeah, I don't think that's what people are thinking about Charlotte. I don't think that that's what residents in Charlotte think. Why would they? They've watched what's gone on in the city. They've watched the soft on crime policies. They've watched this unfold in front of their very eyes. And for whatever reason, Democrats in the city of Charlotte continue to elect these people. They continue to elect the same individuals that have these stances, these soft on crime platforms. Wilmington City Councilman Luke Waddell jumped in on this on social media as well, posting about the story, of course, bringing it back here home this morning. He commented and said, quote, "The brutal murder of Arena Zariska by a homeless 14-time repeat offender on Charlotte public transit should be a wake-up call to every city in North Carolina. This is on our doorstep, not just something happening elsewhere. In Wilmington, I will continue to fight with everything I have to keep our city from spiraling out of control, hopefully passing our public camping ordinance on Tuesday. We must give law enforcement and our court system the tools needed to keep our citizens safe from violence, theft, and disorder. I've heard some of my colleagues here in Wilmington and also in Charlotte say, quote, we can't arrest our way out of these problems. The truth is, if this man had been arrested and incarcerated properly, Irina would still be alive. We must demand public safety as a top priority and stop tolerating weak leadership that allows lawlessness to take root." Bravo to Wilmington City Councilman Luke Waddell for that statement. And man, the video that he attached in the picture that he attached in his tweet. I mean, she's sitting here. She has no clue what's about to happen. She is minding her own business, scrolling on her phone after working at the pizza shop that she does in Charlotte, only for this heartless scumbag to brutally and unprovokedly murder her for absolutely no reason. It's completely unexplainable. But this is the situation that Democrats have created. In an attempt to be compassionate to the mentally ill, in an attempt to be compassionate to the homeless in major cities all across the United States, they have completely admonished a personal responsibility and have made these places incredibly unsafe to live. And it is at the hands and it is at the feet of Democrat leadership in all of these cities, plain and simple. There's nobody else to point the finger at. It's not the services that are provided. It's not the law enforcement. No, this is a complete and total failure. And I would even argue breakdown of government. When you admonish your responsibilities as a government, when you completely ignore the situations that are unfolding in front of your very eyes and allow this stuff to run amok, which is exactly what has happened in Charlotte. This is the unfortunate reality. This is exactly what happens. It's a sad situation. It's a disturbing and disgusting situation, but it's completely preventable. It's completely avoidable. And the most unfortunate part in all of it is that it's completely predictable. When violent offenders are allowed to repeat crime over and over again, innocent bystanders, innocent people minding their own freaking business are the victims. And it's all because Democrats are scared shitless by the fact that they might be called out for, enforcing the law, holding people responsible for their actions. That doesn't fit with the progressive left's narrative. That doesn't fit with their everybody's great, everybody's perfect, let's just hug it all out and we'll give everybody a pat on the back and we'll give you 14 chances to clean up your life and we're so compassionate because we're the left. This is what compassion looks like, folks. You want to see compassion exemplified in a picture? This is what it looks like. So for Vi Lyles, the rest of the Democrats in the city of Charlotte, and to the Democrats on the city of Wilmington, including Celette Andrews, including Mayor Bill Sasso, including Tim Joyner, Kevin Spears, Clifford Barnett, all of the Democrats on the Wilmington City Council. This is what compassion looks like. So congratulations. Pat yourself on the back. Give yourselves an award for your compassion, because this is what it looks like exemplified. Congratulations. You've been compassionate with the homeless. You've been compassionate with criminals. Now people are dead. So give yourselves a nice round of applause. Give yourselves a pat on the back so you can run out to your constituents and claim how good of a progressive, how good of a Democrat you are. Bravo, ladies and gentlemen. Bravo. What a disgusting situation. Coming up here in just a couple of minutes, we're going to try and tune into WBT Radio here in Charlotte as a news director, Mark Garrison of WBT Radio, rode the light rail for 4 hours yesterday to get a firsthand account. We'll simulcast some of that coverage coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But before that, I do want to tell you about the great advertisers and sponsors that allow me to do this each and every weekday. That includes the Law Group here in Wilmington. When legal challenges arise, put your trust in Melissa Gott and the Law Group here in Wilmington. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across Eastern North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, folks. They're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group and their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. Continued coverage of this horrific scene in Charlotte unfolding. We'll try and simulcast some of the coverage from WBT coming up here in just a few minutes as the Nick Craig Show rolls on, streaming live Monday morning, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. A good Monday morning to you. Thanks for sticking with us here on the Nick Craig Show as we continue our coverage of a situation unfolding in Charlotte back on August the 22nd, which is getting some big time national attention this morning as President Donald Trump did comment on the situation, or at least said that he would be commenting on the situation later on today. We'll get to that coverage coming up here in just a couple of minutes, I believe, coming up here on WBT Radio in Charlotte. News director Mark Garrison rode the Charlotte light rail system for 4 hours yesterday to get a gist of what's going on. I think that's starting here. Let's see if that's started. Looks like they're still in their commercial break there over at WBT. So we'll get to that coming up here in just a couple of minutes. President Donald Trump commenting on it yesterday at Joint Base Andrews, arriving back from the U.S. Open in New York City. This is what the president had to say.
Subway was where?
She was in Charlotte on a light train. She stabbed multiple times by a...
Horrible. No, I haven't heard. Okay. When did this happen?
It happened in August, but the video just came out.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I see the video. I'll know all about it by tomorrow morning. Okay? Thank you.
So the president saying that, seemingly indicating he had seen the video, indicating he'll know more about it coming up tomorrow morning. That would be today now as we are live on this Monday morning. So we'll wait and see what the president has to say about that, as this fits into a broader push that you've heard from President Trump in these major Democrat areas, which unfortunately Charlotte falls into. You've got out of control crime. You've got complete and total lawlessness. You've seen what the president's done in Washington, D.C. I don't think he'll be calling for the National Guard to swoop in on the city of Charlotte to clean up what's going on there. But this is building a broader case, which, as I noted in my morning line email this morning, is setting up to be a major disaster for Democrats in the midterms. As these stories continue to get national coverage, and almost all of them are coming out of blue cities across the country with almost exclusive Democrat leadership, this paints the Democrats in a very, very bad light. Very, very bad light. So here's WBT's coverage. Just take a listen.
About what safety looks like. But she offered no answers. Well, regular light rail riders I talked to say it doesn't take much thinking to know what will make the train safer.
They need more security on here.
And as I rode light rail for several hours Sunday afternoon, there was a little more security than normal.
Train approaching. Please.
I got onto the train in NOTA and immediately saw two women in yellow security vests on board. They were ticket checkers, and they checked mine.
Can I just have your ticket out, please?
Sure.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Then at the next stop.
This stop is 7th Street Station.
The young ticket checker stood in the doorway asking everyone entering for a ticket.
Gentlemen, sir, can I just have your ticket out, please?
One homeless guy with a lot of stuff walked up, but when he saw the woman at the door, he turned away. But I noticed the ticket checkers weren't on here very long.
Doors are closing. Train is about to move.
Both of the ticket checkers got off. But now the train is off and running with no security on it.
The next stop will be 3rd Street.
And it stayed that way, clear to the end of the line in Pineville. No security, no ticket checks. Which opened the door for a homeless guy named Reginald to ask me for money.
Do you have $2?
I think I do, if you'll talk to me. Reginald was drinking, had a beer in a brown paper bag. That's a violation of train policy. And he had no ticket. Has anybody checked your ticket today?
Not today, but yesterday.
And you had one?
Well, no, not really.
Did they put you off the train?
Yeah.
But on Sunday, finding a train with no security was no problem. With so many homeless guys like Reginald on light rail, a lot of regulars like Carlos, a passenger I met, told me they always ride with a little bit of fear.
So anytime somebody sits next to me on the links, I just literally get up and sit another seat away from them just because I don't know what their intentions are, if they're drugged up, drunk, or something.
Train approaching.
Once we arrived at the Pineville station, two security guards boarded. One was armed, the other was not. The armed officer stood in the doorway at several stops asking for tickets.
Please have your ticket ready for the train.
Once we were rolling, he found a guy on board who said, I got no ticket.
Dad, ticket, dad, no ticket.
I'm going to let you ride to the next stop. You can get off there, okay?
So at the next stop, the ticketless guy got off.
Doors are closing. Train is about to move.
Then a few stops later, so did the two security guards. So, as Katz has said, security is hit and miss. You'll see it sometimes, but certainly not all the time. Which is what homeless guys such as Reginald are counting on, as he rides light rail for free.
So why are you riding the train without a ticket?
Well, they go donate some plasma to get some money.
And as we approached his stop, Reginald addressed the other riders with a smile.
Radio station guys gonna let me hold $10 so I can get something to eat.
Well, in the interest of full disclosure, I did give him a few bucks and encouraged him to buy something to eat and not any more beer. You know, some of the homeless characters are a bit sympathetic, but you have to remember DeCarlos Brown was a homeless guy with no ticket. He looked harmless when he got on the train, and then minutes later, he killed Irina Zarutska. Katz would like to have more than 200 security people. They're about 35 short of that goal. It would be a mix of guys who are unarmed, some who do have guns, and some who are sworn law enforcement in the state who could make an arrest. But so far, no plans to put security on every train or to check every ticket.
So, Mark, as you were riding, did you feel like you needed to keep your head on a swivel? Did you have your guard up the entire time?
I really did. They say you can't judge a book by the cover, but you see people sit down and think they look a little sketchy. And the guy I interviewed said he moves around a lot when people get in and sit beside him. Every time I've ridden light rail, I've kind of had my head on a swivel.
Well, and they say your gut instinct, you know, to listen to your gut instinct, that your body does respond, you know, to a certain kind of feeling, and that you should pay attention to it if you feel uncomfortable.
Well, and it was interesting how they were on again, off again. You know, they're there checking tickets, and then they disappear, and they get off the train. So they were. It seemed as though they were concentrating on the area around Pineville and some of the southern stops south of the city. But it was a little hard to know for sure. But again, 75% of the ride, no security, no ticket checks.
And now, as I said, this is getting more and more national attention. Yeah. President Trump, before he boarded Air Force One to go see the U.S. Open tennis final yesterday, was asked by reporters what he knew or if he knew about the Arena Zarutska.
That's audio this morning coming in live from WBT Radio in Charlotte. Bo Thompson, Beth Troutman, Mark Garrison, the WBT news directors you heard filing that report. And as he noted, even with this murder just happening a couple of weeks ago, it happened back on August the 22nd. So like less than 3 weeks ago. And with this being now a major national story, still 75% of his ride had no security, nobody checking tickets. And so if I guess my question this morning would be, if that situation is not enough to get this thing cleaned up, if the video that is now public, which is horrific, as we played earlier this morning, if that's not enough to make a change, what is? And it's unfortunate, but the answer might be that there won't ever be a change. The unfortunate reality of the situation is nothing is likely to change. The only way that I'm of the mindset that this stuff starts to get cleaned up is if you have a change in leadership. And for folks in the city of Charlotte, for Republicans like Christina Beccari, who is running as a Republican for a District 6 seat in the city of Charlotte, it's an uphill battle. Because you look at these heavily blue Democrat areas across the United States, of which, unfortunately, Charlotte and I'll even note Raleigh, our two major cities, fall into, there is nothing that is going to change. There is nothing that is going to change the tide of individuals with these policies getting elected over and over and over again. And you don't have to look very far to see the examples. You just have to look at all of these major Democrat cities across the United States and see this is the result of failed, weak Democrat leadership. And I really want to hone in on why this kind of attitude exists. And it's one that I don't think is very hard to understand. There is a push on the left side of the political aisle by those that I would call the more radical progressives to, of course, defund police. That was a pretty big movement just back a couple of years ago. That is not something that's in too distant of a past. There's pushes to allow criminals, allow repeat offenders to commit crimes, all under the auspices that they're struggling with mental health or they're down on their luck or that societal woes have been pitted against them and they're in an underserved community. Right? You hear all of these blanket terms. And so in an attempt, I believe, to try and win over radical progressive voters, you've got Democrats in positions of power like Mayor Vi Lyles in Charlotte, like Democrats on the Wilmington City Council. I'll throw Councilmember Joyner, Andrews, Kevin Spears. I'll throw those three into the category of trying to play to the progressive left. And so I believe, I don't have any evidence to back this up, but from what I understand following this stuff and following politics closely, I think the thought is that if you're soft on crime, that if you kind of give these, I don't even know what you call them, these kind of flailing attempts to those on the progressive left, that you're fighting the good fight with them, that you're standing up to the police. You're standing up to the broken criminal justice system that exists in the United States and racial inequalities and racial woes that exist in our society, that they will win over the progressive left. And to their credit, they've done a pretty damn good job at doing that. Many of these individuals consistently reelected. And so they win over these people by using, and I will call it dog whistling on these things, talking about wraparound services and compassion and mental health care and all of these really feel-good phrases that you hear thrown around on the left. But the reality is one that is significantly worse than anybody wants to talk about. Now, Democrats are being forced to face the music here in Charlotte, because when you look at this screen grab of this situation that unfolded on the Charlotte light rail back a couple of weeks ago, when you look at this picture and see a homeless man riding a train without a ticket, 14-time repeat offender, seconds away from stabbing a woman in the neck 3 times and killing her, when this picture and this video starts circulating around social media, when this picture is being discussed publicly, Democrats have no option but to begin to answer for why they continue to push for these policies. And as you heard me read earlier, the ridiculous statement from Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles in the immediate aftermath of this just goes to show you how screwed up these people's priorities are. And as I read the comments from Wilmington City Councilman Luke Waddell, this is going to be a discussion, not the Charlotte murder, but the discussion of homelessness is on the agenda for the Wilmington City Council meeting coming up tomorrow night. If you'll remember back to last month, we covered the meeting in depth and detail, the most extensive coverage that you'll find anywhere across southeastern North Carolina. The thought of the Wilmington City Council, the will of the Democrats on the board, was to kick the can down the road and deal with this issue in their September meeting. Well, the September meeting is here. It is taking place tomorrow, September the 9th at 6:30 p.m. at the brand new City Skyline, the first meeting that they'll have at their brand new building. And this topic will be up for discussion. This topic will be discussed. And it needs to be discussed, because the reality is one that if things don't begin to change, what you saw in Charlotte on the light rail system back on August the 22nd will happen in Wilmington. I'm not wishing that to happen. I am not trying to will it into existence that it happens, but I know that it will. Because you can look at major cities all across the United States where they allow lawlessness to persist, where they allow repeat offenders, where they allow criminals to roam the streets. And this is the unfortunate reality. This is the unfortunate conclusion to the situation time and time and time and time and time again. Rinse and repeat, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have to have a background in any sort of criminal law or justice or anything to understand how this plays out. You don't have to have a college degree to wrap your head around what is the eventual conclusion to these kinds of policies. They are right in front of your face for everybody to see. And so here locally, I will encourage you, as I've done in the past, to reach out to the members of the Wilmington City Council and encourage them to pass this ordinance. This is the first ordinance that is set to be discussed at tomorrow night's meeting. I would encourage you to email every single member of the Wilmington City Council and let them know that you want things to change, that you want government to do what government should, which is provide a basic level of safety and security for the members of their community. And you go to the City of Wilmington website, you can email them, council@wilmingtonnc.gov. That's the email address. Email them right now, before their meeting tomorrow night, and encourage them not to go down the same path of cities like Charlotte, like New York City, like Los Angeles, like Washington, D.C., like Chicago. All of these cities have the exact same game plan, the exact same playbook. We've watched it play out. I don't need to see any more. And I'm sorry, but the excuse and the discussion of compassion and wraparound services, it's starting to get a little old, because it's the constant defense of this problem. We just need to spend more money. We just need more services available. Charlotte spends millions of dollars a year because it is such a large city. Millions of dollars a year on these so-called services. And you still have individuals that are unwilling to take advantage of them, unwilling to change their life, unwilling to stop their use of illicit narcotics or alcohol, and they just want to continue to exist in society. And I'm sorry, but I've seen and I've had enough. For individuals that are unwilling to take advantage of services that are already being offered, it is time to incarcerate those individuals and hold them accountable for the things that they have done and will likely do in the future. I'm not saying arrest somebody for being homeless. That's not the solution to the problem. But in the case of the 34-year-old man in Charlotte, DeCarlos Brown Jr., he had been arrested 14 times in the past. And it wasn't for loitering. It wasn't for sleeping on a park bench. No. It was for breaking and entering, felony larceny, felony assault, and the list goes on. This is not a good guy that should be out on the streets. This is not some poor person that is down on their luck, that lost their job, and life has just dealt them a shitty hand of cards. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about repeat violent offenders. And the fact that they are roaming the streets of cities throughout the state of North Carolina is a complete and total failure of government. It is a complete and total dereliction of duty in these cities like Charlotte, where they have allowed this to take place. They have allowed a 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee to get murdered for no fault of her own. She didn't do anything wrong. She was at her job being a useful member of society when some non-useful member of society, like DeCarlos Brown Jr., who is nothing but a drag on society, decided that he was going to kill her. So there's your compare and contrast. So I'm done. I've had enough of, oh, compassion, this, and we just, I'm done. I don't want to hear it anymore. It is time to start throwing the book at criminals, prosecuting them to the fullest extent of the law, and being done with it. I'm sick. I'm done. I don't want to hear it anymore. We've tried for the last 25 years to be compassionate, to provide wraparound services, to do all of these great wish list items from those on the progressive left, and this is the end result. Our major cities have fallen to complete and total disrepair, where it is so freaking unsafe that people don't want to go out anymore. I'm done. You guys have had your chance. You've played your experiment. You've let it roll out to the fullest extent. It doesn't work. So it's time to get back to some semblance of normalcy and some semblance of common sense. If you don't want people being murdered on your light rail system, if you don't want people being harassed and chased after in downtown Wilmington, if you don't want people shooting up heroin in the middle of the streets or smoking crack at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon, then it is time to start throwing the book at those individuals. I don't care what their mental health condition is. I don't care if they're chronically homeless. I don't care if they're from some underserved community. I'm over it. If you are breaking the law, if you are a repeat offender, if you are a violent criminal, your ass needs to be incarcerated and not roaming the streets of Wilmington, of Charlotte, of Raleigh, of Asheville, or any other city throughout the state of North Carolina. Once again, Democrats have had their chance to prove that their policies, their platforms, their ideas, and their agenda is better. They've let that play out. We've seen the fullest extent of it. It doesn't work. You can't throw unbelievable levels of compassion at dangerous, hardened criminals. It doesn't work. So coming up later today, I'm going to be very curious to see what Donald Trump has to say about this. I'm just going to refresh my social media here this morning to see if the president has posted anything on Truth Social. We're not clear whether the president, it's not immediately clear, I should say, whether the president is going to speak about this publicly, whether he's going to talk about it in any sort of media situation or anything like that. I'm just looking through Truth Social. It does not appear that the president has yet to comment on this. We will keep an eye on the details out of this to see what President Trump has to say. And if anything relevant does come to fruition, I'll pass it along to you. But as of right now, nothing yet from President Trump. So we'll watch that coverage today. Tomorrow night, the city council will be having their meeting. So we'll dive into this on Wednesday morning as well as we continue our coverage here on the Nick Craig Show. For those that feel that they are getting some value from the program, some comments coming in. Appreciate Ellen commenting on YouTube this morning saying this is one of the most important shows. Ellen, thanks for listening. Encourage folks that believe that they're getting some value to support the show financially. You can do that at patreon.com/Nick Craig, $5-$10 a month. If you believe that you are getting some value, you can head on over to patreon.com/Nick Craig or just head on over to nickcraig.com. There's a link right at the top of the page that talks about supporting the program. You can do that. And I appreciate everybody's support and continued support here on the show, including our great advertiser and great sponsor here, The Law Group in Wilmington, Melissa Gott and her crew. Reach out to them, 910-251-6088, or visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. That's going to do it for a busy Monday edition of The Nick Craig Show. Thanks for joining us. We stream live 7 a.m. YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts.